Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Amen. Let's pray. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O God. We worship you, we adore you, we magnify you, O God. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you for your kindness, thank you for your compassion, O God. Thank you for the blood you shed, the body that was broken on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for what you do for us. Thank you for the church you have given to us. Thank you for the people you have given to us. And thank you for your precious, valuable presence that you grace our services with all the time. I pray this morning, O God, that you will speak to our hearts. You affect our lives. Affect a life, affect a heart, affect a mind today. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. Let the power in the Word of God penetrate through the strongholds of the devil in our minds and in our hearts. Thank you that we are different as we live here. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, wow, you may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Glad to be in church this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you for all the birthday wishes. Thank you for all your kindness. May the Lord be kind to you as well. In Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles or letters of recommendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. What does the New Living Translation say? You are our epistle written, but the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. It means that if you are not a good letter, then our recommendation will not be a good recommendation. Jalana, are you there? Because the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourself. Yeah. So if you don't do the right thing, if you don't behave in the right way, then it is no more a letter of recommendation. How many understand what I'm trying to say? So it is very, very important that you, as a Christian and as a church member, to behave yourself properly. I'm saying again, I'm saying that it is very, very important for you as a church member to behave yourself properly. Because you are being read. You are a letter to many people. He says, your lives are a letter written in our hearts. So if your letter is not a good letter, it will not be in our heart. If it goes into our heart, our heart will reject it. Yeah. Strength and health and strength. If the letter that is going into the heart of the apostle, of the pastor, overseer of the church, if the letter is not a love letter, it is not good for you. So our lives as Christians are letters that are being read. And you must, as a church, you see, I demand, God demands. It is not something, it's not optional. You see, many a times Christians feel that we can do things when we feel like or what we want. That is pride to the highest level. We have an obligation to God as members and people of this church to behave ourselves according to the scriptures and according to the tenets of the faith, of the Christian faith. So you cannot say you are a Christian and you cannot say you are a church member and then behave the opposite way. You can't behave anyhow. Just in case you don't know. You can't. And then sometimes when you are being corrected, don't be like a peacock and act as if somebody is trying to do something bad. Because as long as you have been saved and you've been brought into the church, you must be led. You must be trained. You must be brought up in the way you must go. So most of the time we have grown up with so many things in our minds and it becomes very difficult. But unless you empty, the Bible says that God will not pour new wine into old wineskins. Nobody pours new wine into old wineskins. In fact, the Bible says that if you do that, you crush the bottle. You crush the wineskin. So it is always important to renew your mind and to refresh yourself that you begin to get more. You get it? So those of us who are, high and mighty. Yeah, it is in your house that you are high and mighty. I see, even if in your house, if you behave like that, you bring it to the church. But you can't bring it to the church. Because here, we all submit to the word of God. And we submit to the leadership that God has given to us. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. But say, son, are you looking at me or are you looking at the belly? You're looking at me. Oh, keep your eyes on me. So we are saying that as we are letters, then we should be very, very careful how we live our lives in the church. And I'm preaching, and I'll preach as long as I feel the Lord should lead me to preach about those who leave you. You see, I'm doing a convention, if you want to call it, in on the East Bank. Anniversary convention. I've been there for 3 nights. And the theme of the convention is advancing the kingdom of God. And I was talking to them about the fact that, you see, this church work is a serious business, you know. Many Guyanese don't take church serious. We went to London for a pastors and church leaders conference. There were two pastors who opposed us. They are dead now. And I'm sure nobody will link it to how they opposed us. Because we are blind. Jesus said, you have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, you don't hear. Two pastors. They gave us troubles. They actually advised others not to come to the conference. The two of them are dead right now as I am talking. Well, you have to decide for yourself. If it's juju, then it's a very, very strong juju. We must know that in the church, if the church is going to advance, like they want to advance, advancing means that, you see, anytime you want to advance, you must know that spies will be sent out into the church. You can't advance your kingdom without entertaining spies. The world is full of spies all around the place.
Americans are spying on the British. They are spying on the Germans were surprised, I think, in the earlier part of the year, when the American ambassador in Berlin was caught spying on Germany. The Germans were surprised. Because Germany is an ally of the United States. Yet, as an ambassador, the guy was spying. It was something. You see, they tried to cover it up and, you know, do it very quietly. But the Germans were very, very, very surprised. You see, if you want to advance in this life, you will entertain spies. Because people don't know that the church work is a very serious thing. It's a matter of life and death. It is only in the church that somebody has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. If you don't come to the church, he doesn't. So if somebody is looking to steal, to kill, and to destroy your life and your relationship, you think it's a joke? Since you joined the church, so many problems and so many issues. Because the moment you join the kingdom of God, then you attract an adversary called the devil. And he will not stop until he steals your joy, he steals your relationships, he destroys your life, and he kills you. If he can get you into your grave, he will kill you. Look at how a 21-year-old girl or whatever go to Kaicho and then run like that and jump. Yeah. When he gets you, he will kill you. I said, when Satan gets you, make sure he doesn't get you. When he gets you, give me 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. When he gets you, he will sift you like wheat. When he's done with you, you will begin to see things very, very different. You will never be the same again. Because he will destroy you. So Satan destroys us when he causes us to leave the church. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil. Attacks? Are we in the army? Yes, we are in the army. We are in the Christian army. He said, watch out for attacks. He said, the devil, your great enemy. The enemy is not the people in the church. The enemy is not the pastor. The enemy is not the pastor's wife. The enemy is not the leaders of the church. The enemy is the devil. So don't look at people and make the people your enemy. Satan is the enemy. Satan is the enemy. He said he prowls around like a roaring lion. He's looking for somebody, some victim to devour. Satan is looking. Make sure he doesn't find you. Yeah. Make sure you don't become his prey. You know how he does that? He makes you leave the church. He makes you leave the church. All that Satan wants is for you to lose your stand and your place. He wants you to leave. If you leave the church, he are right. Yeah. As long as you leave the church, the rest is just automatic. The rest is just, it will just follow. It's just a matter of sequence. It will just go ahead. That is why the Bible says you must stand therefore with your loins girded with the belt of truth. You must stand. Your eyes must be open. Your ears must be open. Your antennas must be up for things that will cause you to leave. When it comes to leaving, you must check and say, me? Nah. Even though marriage is not a simple thing, when you divorce, it's not very easy to live your life again. Yeah. If you like, you say, your husband is not good, your wife is not good. If you divorce right now, you say that your life will change forever. Yeah. It's like the problems that you run away from, oh, you see them again. Double. And this time when you see them, it will further destroy your heart. People who normally divorce, the few really marry again. It's not when you remarry or you marry. Charlie, issues are issues. Problems are problems. It's better you stay with the old, bad one. Yeah.
Are you with me?
So if Lighthouse is not a nice church for you, we are better than another church.
I tell you. You'll be surprised. When you go to another church, you realize that, hey, I should have stayed in Lighthouse. At least, the preaching is not bad. The people are somewhere, but the preaching is not bad. Now, since we are letters, what it means is that whatever we do is being read. So all that we're trying to say as we talk about, hey, Basman wife, you're welcome. Welcome to our country. You look very fresh. Wow. I hope you brought all of America to us. Because we are waiting. We have been waiting. And Basman is smiling all the morning. So we're saying that since we are letters, you get it. It's very, very important that your if you leave the church or when you leave, you send a message. You cannot say whether you leave quietly or not that your leaving is not sending a message. Your leaving sends a message. You better let your leaving send a good message than a bad message. So we are looking at some of the unvoiced messages that you're leaving the church sends across. Are you interested in that? Are you sure? It's in a book. I didn't write this book, you know. I'm just reading the book to you. But the book is valid in Africa, in Asia, in South America, in the Caribbean, everywhere in the world. Because church members are the same all over. Church people are the same. There's no difference in the people who come to church. What do you think? Yeah. So, if you like, you can buy the book and do. You can actually plug your ears, put your headphones in your ears, and you listen to music, and then buy the book and read. You hear the same thing. The unvoiced messages of those who leave you. I gave you some of them, isn't it? There are a lot of them. We're going to learn two quickly and then we will close. What did we do last week? You remember the points I gave you last week? Remember? What did I give you? Which one did I give you? It's better to manage your own affairs. Are you sure you are following? There's only one voice I'm hearing. Where were the rest? Pinky, you following or you're not following? So what are some of the points you have? Tell me one of them. Sorry? People who leave do what? They give messages that what? There is no need to express loyalty. To go at great length to express loyalty. Okay, it doesn't look like you want to say the point. So let's move on. This morning, people who leave give a message that I am as good as you are. It's right here in the book. Number 7. Page 59. You can take the book and open it. I'll tell you. People who leave you, they are trying to say. Or not they are trying to say. They are saying that I am as good as you are. Alan, is it not serious? That your little action of, okay, you know what? Man, me like the church, am I going? Just that action that you think that you are satisfying yourself with is actually sending a message that I am good, I am as good as the guy in charge. Yeah. Yeah. That's what Satan did, isn't it? He felt he was as good as God. So he said that, you know what? My throne will be bigger than this throne that this man is on. My throne must be bigger. I want to be higher. I want to go above. Because I'm as good as he is. And that was the beginning of his leaving symptoms. Are you with me? Jeroboam
are two kings in the book, in the Bible, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. One was good, one was bad. 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. And we want to read verse 32. You see, Jeroboam was the bad king because it's in his days there were two kingdoms, right? And he was trying to do things to keep the people from going to Jerusalem. And when he was the one who brought the point where we say when people leave you, they are trying to say that there's an alternative. Are you there? There's an alternative. So he says in verse 32, the Bible says that Jeroboam, the king, he instituted a religious festival in Bethel. Not Jerusalem, Bethel. Held on a day in mid-autumn. Similar. Somebody say similar. To the annual festival of shelters in Judah. So there at Bethel, he himself, not the priest, because he's saying that I am as good as those guys in Jerusalem or in Judah who do all the sacrifices and those things. I am as good as them. We can do our own also. To the calves he had made. And it was at Bethel that he appointed priests for the pagan shrines he had made. Give me King James, let's see. Similar. When people leave you, because this was a guy who was trying to break the hearts of the people away from the point, the focal point, which was Jerusalem. So in trying to do that, he tried to, replicate, create options. And so that the people will see, I don't have to. You get it? I don't have to stay in the church. I can go. This is the message that those who leave you say. They say, you know what? The people are, we are as equal, especially when the person leaves and goes and starts a church. Then it's like, lighthouse and this. There's no difference. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. It's the same. As good as. Yeah, it's true. Those who leave you, they bring that message across. If your husband leaves you for another woman, what is it? That woman is it's as good as you. It's as good as you, yeah. Or better. I don't think the ladies will feel nice about that. Even when, God forbid, even when your husband, finds himself with another woman. He's not left you, but with another woman. It's not a very nice thing for women. It's not a nice thing at all. Because it makes them feel that, somebody is my co-equal. Because the cup I drink from, the person is also trying to drink from the same cup. The plate I eat upon, that same person is trying to eat upon the same plate. Me leaving me man for nobody. Me taking left. Where's Andreska? She taking left at all. Yeah. But Jeroboam was engaged in trying to create this impression in the eyes of the people that there's no difference. Yeah, it's. I am as good as what we have here is as good as what you go to Jerusalem for. Yeah. Because if there's a difference, then you will go to where the difference is at. If there's a difference, you rather go to where the higher thing is, the better thing. That's all you do. So if there's no difference and it's as good as, then you stay. So when people leave, they are trying to say, you know what? That what Lighthouse is not such a church as you think. There are other places also. Yeah. It's not the only good church around. And once you send such a letter, people like reading letters. People like reading people's messages. People like reading people's, people like running people's phone and looking for the messages on their phones. So once they get the message that this is the same as this, then you are trying to teach them something that is wrong, something that is bad in the church. You cannot be as good as your pastor. You cannot be as good as the head of the church. You cannot. If you walk out on your pastor, if you walk out of the church, you are not as good as the church. You are not as good as the pastor. You see, it is pride that will make you do that. If you really see yourself as a humble person, you will not walk on people. You walk away on people. But it takes pride for you to feel that something has been, you see, you have been wronged. Who is you? Who is you? Because it's when you feel that you are something or somebody, then you feel that, you know what? I have been wronged. That's what Jesus said. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't feel that the people were doing something wrong to him. That's what you call humility. That's what the Bible says. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Because to be led to the slaughter, something, you see, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords being led to the slaughter, it doesn't make sense. Somebody who can just stretch forth his finger like that and something bad can happen to you, why does he just allow himself to be led to be slaughtered? It doesn't match. It doesn't make sense. Then it means that even though we see that person as big and mighty, there's a certain trait, a certain quality that he exhibited at that particular moment that did not make the people who were trying to kill him disappear. And that trait is humility. Jesus didn't feel that they were doing something wrong to him because he was humble. Yeah, that's one sign of pride. When you feel that you have been wronged, it's a sign of pride. And that's what leads to offense. Because when you are wrong, then you are offended. But if you are nothing, then nobody will wrong you and nobody will offend you. Yeah. The Bible says that Jesus did not feel or think it was robbery to be equal with God. But he humbled himself and he took upon himself the form of man. He didn't think that. But why? Why should I go down there and let these people spit on me and lash me and things? The Bible says he didn't feel anything wrong about that. Now, if I call Brother Sharon now and I tell him to lie down on the floor and he said, where are you going? Lie down on the floor. Your shirt dirty? You see? Then he feels like he's something, isn't it? Yeah, he said that his suit is getting dirty. See, then there's something that has come between him and obeying and being humble. And that's what tell us, hello. Then he said, didn't you hear I told you that my suit is getting dirty? Then it enters into offense. Because there's something precious about you that should not be touched. Bishop was explaining anointing to the First Life Church. And one young singer, Bishop called her to sing a song, a part. She sang that part. And then she called lead pastor Ida to also sing the same part. And he asked the church, do you see the difference? They said, yes. And he was trying to explain the difference. And he said that, if you see Ida here, this is a journey of 12 years. The 12 years is filled with a lot of insult and rebuke and castigations and all forms of things that actually brought the best out of her. Wow. 12 years of the year. So she said, if she stands here and she sings a song like that, I say, wow, and this one is singing, you see the difference. The difference is not the voice. The difference is the 12-year journey of humility to be nurtured, to be corrected, and to be twisted and all of that, and you still manage to go along. That is what takes you and brings you on top. That's why the Bible says that God, he resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Grace can only be given to people who are humble. Humility will never allow you to be offended. Have you ever seen a servant in a house who is offended by their master? I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. A servant. Hey. I have two soldiers. I'm blessed by them. Ticket one, ticket two. Yeah. No, that video was nice, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, it's too powerful. And so we have some soldiers somewhere. We are training them. One day, Satan is going to run away from some villages here in Guyana, I tell you. My, oh my. You wait and see. We don't care what anybody will say. We'll do it. Once we are beating Satan, it's okay. You can tell us anything. It's all right. We'll take it. As long as we give him licks, anything you tell us is okay. Are you there? So, humility will not make you become, because one of the things that make people leave the church is, number one, it's offense. It's offense. I'm offended. And you're offended because you have feelings. And that feelings should not be hard. You can't have feelings. Which feelings? What was that? I thought you were dead to sin. What jumbi is rising up in your life like that? There's no servant who, when the master says, this, that, why didn't you do this? And the servant say, why are you talking to me like that? Are you a servant? Who is you? You're the master is talking to you and you offended? That's the day you lose your job. So we are not servants. We are big shots in the church. Pastor Son, are you a big shot in the church? Huh? Yeah. Vanetta, are you a big shot in the marriage? Yolanda, you have been shocked in the marriage. Can you lift it like that? Pastor E. No, your wives are proud. Just to lift up your leg. Just lifting. Rebecca is laughing. I know why she's laughing. What? You can't lift your leg. It's pride. It's not tiredness. It's not nothing. No. It's pride. Yeah. Because there's a reason why you don't want to lift your legs. Yeah, there's something that it didn't go in your favor. That's why the legs have become as heavy as a metal. Yeah. So those who leave you, send that message. That I am as good as you. You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. It's like, whatever you think you say, I am also as good as you also. Listen to this one. I like this one. And I don't mind if you feel about it, but you have to feel also. I like this point. Where is this? He says, I'm surprised we should put this thing there, but it's real. Jack, where are you? I am here. Those who leave, I'm closing. Because I hear there's food or something. There's birthday food. Yeah. I like birthday food. Look at this one. Number 13. People who leave you appoint unqualified people into positions of authority. Is it because you have been around so long, you have perfected what you do in that particular place? Yeah.
So the moment you leave, you force replacements who don't have the experience and the quality you have.
You see, when the shepherds went for the Shepherds Congress and Phoebe wasn't here, then her younger sister tried to, you know, be in the office, help here and there. She was doing her best. So I made a mistake to say that she should write a letter for me. When she wrote the letter, I said, "Sweetie, okay, thank you very much. It's okay." I said, "You know what? I've not done that for a while, but I will write it with my hand. And then you type it for me." And that one worked. So I was happy about that one. Because when you leave, Piggy, then you allow somebody who is unqualified to come into a position of authority. And what happens is sometimes when you bring these people, they are novices. And it's like a domino effect, they call it. Domino effect, you call it. Then what happens is that then a person becomes proud that for such a short time they have been placed in such a place of authority, and then they also probably rebel. That's how you sometimes you have a series of rebellion. Because people who are trusted and qualified and approved and prayed about, they just vacate their post. And you, of course, you can't let the post be vacated. So you are forced to fill the gap with people who are not qualified, people who have not been tested, people who have not been proved, people who don't have the quality they used to have. I'm reading from the book. Same 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28. Are you learning something? If Jacob's, you leave right now, I have to find a bass guitarist. And then, unqualified. So, when we are singing the song, then you hear, tum, 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 tum. And I see Pastor Hassan will look at the person. And he comes. Pastor Hassan, he will also come to me and say, "Reverend, you see, this guy." Pastor Hassan, he will come. He will come and say, "That guy, he doesn't understand when we talk to him." Because it has taken... Jacobs didn't know how to play bass when he joined the church. It is his time, investment here, being around, playing along with the group, and all of that has brought out his skills. If he leaves right now, which he has the permission to leave, he wants to leave. But what he does is that he actually creates a position for unqualified people whose acts will be because of him. He will bear the responsibility of that thing that is not going well. He will bear that responsibility. God will hold him responsible for that gap he created. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not sons of Levi. The sons of Levi were the family that all of us know. God chose the third son of Israel and his descendants to be the priests in Israel. Nobody from any other tribe was allowed to do the service of God in a temple. Nobody but the Levites. So this guy Jeroboam, he's trying to plot and do the same things like the original one. So what he did was that he chose, you see, and this is as serious, this point I'm explaining is as serious as the spirit of the Antichrist. Because it is the Antichrist that the Bible says that he will stop the daily sacrifice and he will commit the abomination of desolation. You know what abomination of desolation is? He will bring a pig to the altar, not a lamb. He will come, he will bring a pig. He will say a pig is the one that must be slaughtered for. He will bring a pig, not a lamb. Because the sacrifice that the Israelites do, it's lambs, it's sheep they slaughter and they kill for the services of God. He will bring a pig. Remember, the Jews, they don't eat pork. Because it is in the scriptures, the Old Testament, that these type of animals who are whatever clawed or footed or whatever, you don't eat them.
the Antichrist will come and show that. You see, we want to desecrate the temple. We want to humiliate. We want to bring down the holy things. We want to bring it low. And to do that, they replace the high-level gift, the high-level requirement, with something unreasonable, something cheap, something useless, something as insulting as a pig. So when you are a qualified MC in a church, and you say, oh, CYF, health and strength, and you'll be introducing the pastor and all of that, and then you leave, then I can't introduce myself. So I go and I say, Jonathan, come. All right. So you say, ladies and gentlemen, let's say it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Look, we can't even hear what he's saying. We can't even hear what he's saying. He's inviting. Who is he inviting? And when he invites me, I wouldn't feel the niceness. I wouldn't feel the power. I wouldn't feel the niceness that CYF or Health and Strength will stand here and they will say, ladies and gentlemen, let us welcome to the pulpit our one only Reverend Victor. I mean, I feel nice when I'm coming. I feel so nice. Go, oh, hallelujah. I come. What song are you singing?
Could you repeat?
Huh?
Huh? Any song?
Who?
Any song?
E? Ooh.
Any song?
The unqualified substitute, because of health and strength, because of him, he has caused an unqualified. The Antichrist has brought a pig. One of the deadliest animals ever. When tapeworms are transferred from pork into human beings. The tapeworms, they hide between the skin and the fat under the skin layer and then the flesh. When tapeworms, they lay eggs there, you have to boil the pork in such a way that the heat can destroy the eggs, but they are able to survive under that plus. And then when you eat it, you are eating the eggs of a tapeworm. And tapeworms can be so long, they're like a snake in your stomach. When you eat, then the worms eat the food from a pork, from a pig. Nice lamb, white. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to. That lamb that we kill for God to be happy. The guy says, no. He brings in a pig. And that's what those who leave you make happen. They remove themselves. The Levites are not there anymore. Now you have to find people who are not qualified to be at the altar and be doing the sacrifices of the altar. Just because the person who was supposed to be there. Stand to your feet. My time is up. Close your eyes with me. Allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you, okay? And be obedient to the Spirit of God. Yield. Be obedient to the unction of God. To the unction of God. The unction of God. He's our helper. Just be honest with your heart. And say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your help.
To the Holy Spirit.
Lord, touch this one. Touch his heart. Touch his life. Touch him. Touch his mind. Touch his way of thinking. Touch him. Touch them, oh God. Touch. Touch your son, oh God. As he yields to you. Yes, Lord.
Oh, heal son to the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to the unction of God. Yield yourself to the Holy
Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit.
Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to the unction of God. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit.
Here this morning, you're not saved, you're not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, Pastor, my right hand is up. I want to be saved. Pastor, I want to be born again. Pastor, I am not a serious Christian. I want to be serious from today. Your hand also up, right hand, and I'll pray with you. Because I want to be born again, and I want to go to heaven when I die. But Father, Pastor, when I also see and look at myself, I see that I'm not a serious Christian. I want you to pray for me. Your hand also, right hand up as well. I want to pray with you. I want to be born again. I want to be a serious Christian. Your right hand up, and I'll pray with you. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, whether you want to be born again or you want to be a serious Christian from today, I want you to also walk to the front right now. Come, I want to pray for you.
Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down.
Come, come to Jesus, come, come.
Bring me,
don't be shy,
myself.
Don't be afraid, come.
I belong come. To
one person wants to be a serious Christian. The church is filled with liars. All right. Say this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I come to you just as I am. I want to go deeper. I want to become stronger in my faith. I pray that you will touch me and make me stronger, make me mightier, make me more established and devoted. Let your spirit fill me now. In Jesus' name.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.